New King James Bible, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, who is he talking to? Us, the brethren and the sistren. You know, when it's in this context, it's referring to both male and female. Now, sometimes it's specific. But in this case, my brethren, he's talking to the believer. My brethren, count it all what? Count it what? All joy when you fall into various trials. Knowing that the testing of your faith does what? Well, I'm looking for the following word, produces. Produces. The testing of your faith will produce something. And of course, the Word of God tells us that the testing of our faith produces patience. Now, how many of you know that the devil's going to test you to see what you're made of? Yeah. He's going to test you to see what you're made of. He's going to test you to see if you're going to step back, quit, or if you're going to forge ahead even to a greater degree because you know your God. You still with me? So knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And listen what he tells us next in verse 4. He says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking what? Hallelujah. You still here? And then he goes on to say, in the midst of this, and I'm saying that, in the midst of all this, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. We should always seek wisdom, godly wisdom. Amen? I don't think I can say that enough, because sometimes you know, you observe things and you find that when the goings get rough, people begin to think, what else can I do? What else can I do? How else can I handle this when all they need to do is trust God? Trust His Word. Let Him impart the wisdom to us that we need. Hallelujah. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. Hallelujah. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. But let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Double-mindedness and stability do not live in the same house. We're told that if we're double-minded, we become unstable, because now we're not sure what to do in any given situation. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? How do I handle this? Just on and on. But now, in these eight verses that I just read to you, I want you to notice something. And by the way, my subject this evening is joy, just one word, J-O-Y, one three-letter word, joy. And so we notice here that, first of all, he says, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And then the next thing he says is your faith is being tested. Your faith is being tested. And then in the midst of all that, he tells us that we are to be patient. And apply wisdom, or get wisdom, in any given situation. Right? And then we look at verse 6. It tells us that we are to operate by faith. If you need wisdom, ask God. Ask him in faith, expecting him to give you and impart to you the wisdom that you need in any given situation. Sometimes we are so used to doing things the traditional way that when God speaks to us sometimes, we don't even accept it. Sometimes we think, that can't be God, because that's we've never done it this way, or mama didn't teach me this way, or daddy didn't teach me this way. And so sometimes we miss out on what God is saying because we're stuck in a traditional rut. Amen. So I want you to understand something. If you're going to be victorious in your walk with the Lord, you're going to have to keep your joy. Your joy will keep you stable. One definition for joy is gladness. When you can praise God joyfully in any given situation, you have the victory, honey. Hallelujah. You've got the victory. When you can lift your hands and lift your voice to the Lord without wrath and doubting in any way, and just bless the name of the Lord, you are one victorious person. Hallelujah. Now, before I move on any further, let's look at Peter's take on this. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, I'm in 2 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'll just begin reading at verse 1. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Somebody say amen. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Everybody say, living hope.
Living.
Say, I have a living hope. My hope's not dead. Hallelujah. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept, this is verse 5, who are kept by the power of God. How? How are we kept? Amen. By the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now listen to this. Listen. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Look at this. Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, how do you rejoice? Huh? You rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Hallelujah. Joy. Let me tell you something. When we live by faith, and when we refuse to allow situations and circumstances to steal our joy, we will be victorious every time. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, let's go there. Romans chapter 8. All right. I won't read all this, but you can, matter of fact, I recommend that you read the entire 8th chapter of Romans during your study time, or if you'd like, read the whole book. Glory to God. But I'm going to begin reading I'll just pick it up at verse 26, but I'm picking it up here in the middle, but we'll start there. In verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, also helps in our what? Infirmities, or if you have a New King James Bible, it says weaknesses. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. When times are tough, when times are trying, we have the Holy Spirit available to help us. Matter of fact, listen, He is known as our helper. He is known as the one sent along beside us to do what? Help us. He is our helper. Are you grabbing this? Hallelujah. So likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses or in our infirmities. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. Let me reread that. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercessions for who? Us, yes, the saints, according to the will of God. Now, listen at this. We have a helper every day of our life. When things seem to be going good, our helper is still there. When things seem to be going bad, our helper is still there. He never leaves us. Am I right? Amen. Of course I'm right. He never leaves us, and He never, ever forsakes us, right? Hallelujah. But now, because we have Him with us, interceding for us, we can boldly quote Romans 8:28, which said, listen to me, and we know, this is the 28th verse, and we know that all things, Say it again. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who what? Love God. To those who are called according to His purpose. A lot of things that we blame God for, He didn't send them. Sometimes these things happen, we say, well, you know, the Lord's trying to teach me something. When actually it's the devil. But God is so awesome. Everybody say awesome. He is so awesome. And we have a helper that's with us at all times to lead us, to guide us, to impart wisdom to us, that whatever it may be, we can be assured, we can rest assured knowing that this don't look good, this don't feel good, this don't sound good, but I am confident of this one thing. God's gonna cause this thing to work together for my good. It may have been intended to destroy me, but God's gonna turn it around and bless me. God's gonna turn it around and give me a testimony. Let's read that again. And we know that all things, everybody say again, all things.
All things.
See, what it doesn't say is all things except what you're dealing with. That's not what it says. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. And it's talking about those who love God, those who walk by faith, and those who have the joy of the Lord. Those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Why don't you look at somebody and tell them, say, I'm called. A lot of folks hear that word called and then they think, no, I'm not called. I ain't getting in no pulpit. No, you called. You may not be called a fivefold ministry, but you called. I'm telling you, you called. We're all ministers of reconciliation. Am I right? Yes, I'm right. We're all called by God. We all have purpose. God has a plan for each of our lives. And it's the enemy that's trying to disrupt that plan. And one of the ways he's trying to do it is to steal your joy, to get you not to worship God, to walk with your head down all the time. When you're talking to your brothers or your sisters, you're always in doubt. Well, you know, I just don't know. I just don't know if I'm going to make it or not. Blah, 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 blah. And the word of God is telling us, get your head up. Sometimes we need to ask ourselves a question. Is God done with me yet? No. And we know that there's coming a day when all of us should Jesus tarry, hopefully grow old. Growing old is not a sin. And we have to accept the fact, because we live in an earthen body, when we're 85, 90, you're not going to look like you did when you were 16. Just get over it. You're not. Now, if you got enough money, you know, you can have suction done, all kind of facelift, getting things moved and getting things placed from one part of your body to another part. You know, you can do some things, but I go ahead and do it. That's, you know, if it's your money, okay, you spend it where you want to. But here's what I'm going to tell you. You know, you may postpone it for a while, but it's coming back. Why? Because it's an earthen body. We have earthen bodies. Hallelujah. But let's not check out too soon. Amen. Don't allow the enemy to steal your joy, to live depressed. And I want to tell you listen, brothers and sisters, sometimes you got to stand up and fight. You hear what I just said? You got to stand up and fight. And when I say fight, I'm not talking about fight one another. In the flesh, that's what our flesh would rather do, find fault with each other and fight among ourselves. And, of course, that's certainly what the devil wants. He wants us fighting among ourselves and division and everything. But no, we got to make a decision. I'm going to stand up and fight. Jesus gave me peace. I'm going to fight for my peace. By his stripes, I were healed. I'm going to fight for my health. I'm going to stand on his word. I'm going to fight. I'm going to tell the devil what he can and cannot do. Hallelujah. Keep your joy. Stay in faith. And do what the Word of God says. Fight. I think some of you know it, so go ahead and finish it for me. Say it again. Say it loud enough for those folks to hear it in my microphone. Amen. Fight the good fight of faith. See, you know, we would like to do like we do in our automobile, all except my wife, set it on cruise and just ride. I don't know why she don't like cruise control, but she never use it. Sometimes she's driving, I try to take a nap, have to open one eye and make sure she's not speeding. But now, she's a good driver. But sometimes we can't do that spiritually, just put it on cruise. No, you got to fight the good fight of faith. You got, having done all to stand, you got to do what? But notice in Ephesians 6, it says, before you stand, you better do everything it takes. You better believe God. You better keep your joy. And then you stand and stand firm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you still with me? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalm, 16th chapter. I love this verse, 11th verse of the 16th Psalm. You will show me the path of life. Read the rest of that. It's on, if you don't have a New King James Bible, you can look on the screen. You will show me the path of life. Path of life, finish it. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I want to tell you, and I'm going to close with this verse, but I want you to get this in your spirit. Romans 8:28 tells us that God causes all things to work together for our good. Leave that on the screen, please, that verse. He causes all things to work together for our good, to those of us that love him, to those of us that are called according to his purpose. Guess what? He will show us the path of life, the path to take. You hear me? I said, do you hear me? Because the Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our intercessor. Oh, hallelujah. He's right with us. He's never going to leave us. He's going to show us the path of life. In his presence is the fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Don't be moved by the negative. Keep your joy. And I can say from a reliable source, you're going to be all right. We are going to be all right. Hallelujah. Will you just lift your hands and your voice to him right now and just bless his name? Will you do that? Thank you, Lord. Thank you.